So I'm going to present on behalf of my colleagues the preliminary findings from the CALMS-D trial. And CALMS-D in English stands for Community Health Educators Assisting Latinos Manage Stress and Diabetes, and in Spanish it's Consejeras Asistiendo Latinos a Manejar el Estrés y la Diabetes. This work is funded by the National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities through an R01, of which my dear colleague Julie Wagner and I are PIs. So, over the past decade, I led a randomized control trial assessing the impact of community health workers at improving glucose control through home visitations where they delivered mostly nutrition education, education on how to self-monitor the blood glucose, adherence to medication, and a small component related to physical activity. That trial, which has recently been published in Diabetes Care, led to a clinically significant improvement in HbA1c as an indicator of longer-term blood glucose outcome. However, when we were doing that trial, as you've heard, I'm a nutritionist, and I was paying a lot of attention to nutrition, but we did discover that over half of our participants had symptoms of clinical depression. All of these were Latinos, which were very disenfranchised, with very limited healthcare access, and who had poorly controlled type 2 diabetes. As a result of this, I partnered with my very dear colleague, Julie Wagner, who is a behavioral psychologist at UConn's health center, to then develop the CALMS-D trial. And Julie should really be the one doing the presentation today, but she has a commitment in Singapore at another conference, so that's why you're stuck with me for the rest of the presentation. So in persons with diabetes, depression and anxiety are linked to poor metabolic control, more diabetes complications, and early mortality. Few linguistically and culturally appropriate services are available, and even fewer are affordable. As a group, Latinos tend to be receptive to non-pharmacological treatments, and stress management has been shown to improve psychosocial functioning and, in some studies, to improve glycemic control. CALMS-D is a single-site randomized control trial of a community health educator-delivered diabetes education versus community health educator-delivered diabetes education plus stress management, which is what I will be referring to as an intervention group. Our hypothesis is that the intervention would produce greater improvements in depressive symptoms, anxiety symptoms, and psychological well-being than diabetes education alone, and both that control and intervention conditions would produce decreases in diabetes distress, since that control group also got enhanced diabetes education. In a nutshell, this is the flowchart that illustrates that the sample size that we recruited, and I'm very happy to announce that we have just completed our last follow-up assessment at 6 months after follow-up. We retained 94 out of the 121 participants that were randomly assigned to the control group, 46 of them, and 61 to the 8 stress management sessions. The participants were recruited from a Latino-serving community clinic hosted by Hartford Hospital. The intervention was delivered at the Hispanic Health Council, which was a principal partner in this R01 and continues to be. Participants needed to be residents of Hartford, adults, identify themselves as Latino. If they were included, if they spoke either Spanish or English, they had to be ambulatory and have been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes for over 6 months, and this is poorly controlled type 2 diabetes. The HbA1c criteria in the grant was to be at least 8, but we ended up lowering that to 7 because of recruitment reasons, but they were all under poorly controlled poorly blood glucose control conditions. Participants were excluded if they had serious medical conditions, physical or mental, and also if they screened positively for alcohol problems. The diabetes education, which built heavily from the DIAL-BEST trial, was delivered as a single 2.5-hour group session where basic information on diabetes was given, and the MyPlate was used as a tool to teach nutrition. Participants were provided with a glucometer and 10 strips, and they were advised to increase physical activity and provided with a portable CD player and the CD Movimiento por su Vida that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. So again, this diabetes education was offered to both intervention and the control group. The stress management consisted of 8 2-hour group sessions, developed, tested, and refined over approximately 12 months. We built from one phase on top of the other during the pre-testing phase. It has 2 core components, psychoeducational skills, training, and building relaxation skills. The curriculum included a bilingual manualized curriculum with a flip chart, recorded relaxation exercises that they were instructed to do at home, and handouts. The participants were given audio CDs of the relaxation exercises, a CD player, and instructed to practice at home daily. The same community health educator, which thank God lasted for the whole study, stayed with us for the whole study, provided both a diabetes education and a stress management intervention, so we were able to minimize interventionist effects. The community health educator was hired and trained specifically for this study. She is Puerto Rican, bilingual, has a high school diploma, and 2 years of experience as a certified nursing assistant. Her training for the study was very intensive, involving approximately 150 hours, spanning 5 months, and she received ongoing supervision by the wonderful Julie Wagner, which of course is a licensed clinical psychologist, and she was also very closely supervised by the field coordinator. The measures of psychological function were selected based on tools that had been previously validated in Spanish. The vast majority of our work and the preference for our participants is to be addressed in Spanish. The depressive symptoms were assessed with a PHQ questionnaire without the suicidality item, anxiety symptoms with a PROMIS anxiety short form, diabetes distress with a PAID scale, and psychological well-being with the WHO 5 item questionnaire. And as you can see, these are the Cronbach alphas from our own data, and the scales behave reasonably well. The data collection was done through REDCap. Was the first sort of paperless study. Welcome, Rafael, to the 21st century. We were really very successful at collecting data with iPads and good IT technology. Administered in the participants' preferred language by a community health paraprofessionals that were trained. It was not a health educator, but a different group of staff. The questionnaires were read aloud with flip chart showing response options for each measure. The pictographs were designed to aid interpretation of questions for low literacy participants. The importance of this has just been underscored. So this is an example of how the well-being scale was applied and how the PAID scale was applied. So in terms of the characteristics of the participants, they were on average 60 years old. About 3/4 of them were female. Only about a third of them had a partner, only around 10% worked, and the vast majority, as I said, preferred to be addressed in Spanish. And the ethnicity, they were predominantly Puerto Rican, as the demographics in Hartford would indicate we would find. They had been in the U.S. for around 34 years on average. Relatively low reading ability, math ability, and very poorly controlled A1C, an average of 8.5. And there were no significant differences between the control and intervention group for any of these factors indicating that the randomization procedure worked. There were no differences between treatment groups in the rate of attrition, and in terms of the results, the repeated measures ANOVA showed there was a significant time by treatment interaction for depressive symptoms that did not change after controlling for confounders. And as we can see, the depressive symptoms rate decreased from baseline to 3 months post-treatment in the intervention group, and for reasons we still don't understand, but they went up in the control group, with the difference being statistically significant in favor of the intervention group. For anxiety, a very similar interaction was found, also suggesting that the intervention was effective at reducing the level of anxiety, at least at the 3-month assessment. And there were no differences that could be attributed to the intervention in terms of diabetes, distress, and well-being. So there are very few, to put the relevance of our work in context, there are very few community health educator-led psychosocial interventions that have been previously reported. The community health educator-led stress management intervention can be produced favorable changes in depressive and anxiety symptoms, and increased depressive and anxiety symptoms in the control group were unexpected. And as my former mentor, Nurse Topolit, used to say, thank God for control groups. So with proper selection, training, and supervision, a community health worker was able to deliver an effective psychosocial intervention for a high-risk population with type 2 diabetes. The participants loved it. We have very good data in terms of the satisfaction of the participants. And community health educators may help close the service gap for populations with limited access to psychosocial services. And these are some references that you may find of interest related to this presentation. Thank you very much.